We serve a big God, amen? All right. I got up here, preach with sincerity, authority, and urgency. I'm going to be honest. The authority is going to be hard because for those that know me, you see I have a tissue in my hand. So there's tissue at each aisle. Make sure you grab one for me. That's not for you. But man, good morning. That's pretty good. I like that. I need laughter, yeah. This is my fifth time or sixth time getting to stand behind this pulpit. I don't know, when do you stop counting?
I'm not counting.
Oh, okay, I'm counting. Because I want to make sure I'm getting better every time. But anyways, but a lot of things have happened since the last time I stood before you. September 11th, I celebrated my three-month opportunity here at Mount Vernon as your youth pastor and as your associate pastor. So that 3 months, of course, has felt like 3 years. I am physically and emotionally tired. I'm going to be honest. Some mornings I get up and I have no idea what day it is. Well, most of the time I do that. But anyways, and I have to get here and Nate's like, hey, we're eating with the senior adults. And I'm like, it's Tuesday? Okay. But anyways, I have good days, but I have great days. It is an absolute blessing to be here. It is an absolute blessing to get to do this. Thank you, Nate, for allowing me to come up here again. And I am blessed this morning. That's kind of what we're going to be looking at. I'm blessed I have this opportunity to stand here from behind this pulpit that Nate stood behind, that Mark has stood behind, like Doug and a lot of the great men in this church that I consider my mentors and my brothers and my friends. But just to be able to stand here in the same place with them is awesome. I'm blessed with a beautiful family. Hey, Daddy. Hey, Mama. Anyway, I'm blessed with a beautiful church family. Hey, y'all. Hey, there we go. I'm blessed to be a part of an opportunity to lead an awesome group of youth. Hey, youth. Y'all are horrible at this. Oh, I heard you, Cole. I heard you. In fact, I was listening to the radio today, and I've heard this song for a while, and I got to thinking, I heard it, I was like, I believe this person wrote this song about me. And it's from the band Wren Collective, and I want you to, can you play a little bit of that, Carly? Because this is about me, by the way.
I was blind, now I'm seeing in color. I was dead, now I'm living forever. I had failed, but you were my redeemer. I've been blessed beyond all measure.
That's about me. That's not about y'all. That's about me. I'm kidding. That's a great song. And that's kind of what we're going to be doing today. We'll be continuing the series called Restore My Joy. We'll be continuing to look at the Sermon on the Mount. Why is it called that? Hey, Nate, they are listening. But anyways, I get the blessing, the opportunity to preach Matthew 5, 6. I'm looking forward to that. And it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Amen. So if you don't mind, let me pray and let me get comfortable and then we'll get rolling. So here we go. Let's pray. Father God, awesome God, big God. God, I just thank you for this opportunity. Father, I just thank you for this moment. Father, I pray that I decrease, God, that you'll increase in your word, Father. And I pray that somebody in this room who doesn't know you, God, that they'll meet you maybe for the first time today. Father, I pray, God, for strength, and I pray for courage. Father, I pray to preach sincerely, God. I pray to preach authoritative. God, I pray to preach with a sense of urgency because this is now. And God, there's someone in here that does not know you. So, Father, I pray, God, that today they don't leave this room without knowing who you are. God, may your word be lifted on high. God, may you be put in the rightful place you deserve to be, and that's in the very center of our hearts. So, Father, I love you, and I praise you. And, God, I just thank you for all these blessings. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So Matthew 5, 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And what I'm going to do today is it's a single verse, but man, is there some meat in this thing. And we're not going to go a lot of places. You can let your finger out of your Bible. We're going to stay right there. And I'm going to show you what God laid on my heart. I started writing this thing, a couple weeks ago, but I sat down and God just put it straight on me what he wanted to say. And I just kept on writing and writing and writing and typing and writing. And I got done with it. And Darren's, she's mad at me because normally when I do a sermon, I'll ask her to come up here and sit and listen to me and help me fix it. Or she'll tell me what's right or what's wrong with it. This time I didn't ask her because I knew this isn't me. What you're going to hear today is straight from God, and this is his words, and I'm just the mouthpiece. But anyways, the first thing I want to ask y'all, and the first thing we're going to look at is, are you blessed? Because the word blessed, we use it commonly today. In fact, I probably used it 10 to 12 times already today. I told you earlier about all my blessings, and I'm pretty sure most of you can say the same thing. We all desire God's blessings. But Jesus' description here, when he's talking about blessed are those, it's kind of like we've been talking about the Beatitudes, how it's been turning the world upside down. That's what he's about to do right here. Because if you actually look at the word blessed, it comes from the Greek word that describes, listen to this, a joy that is self-contained. Blessed here means, right, when we were here, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Blessed here means divine joy and perfect happiness. And to even kick it a little further, to go a little deeper, I looked at what the English word of happiness, it comes from the root word hap, which means, anybody want to guess? Chance. Human happiness comes from the chance and changes in life. So this word blessed is something that we don't really, I think we water it down kind of like we do heaven and we kind of like we do with the word hell. We water them down to make them comfortable. But Jesus right here was saying, blessed are those. And when you really understand this word, I hope I get done with it in time, but to understand what the word blessed means, it's actually untouchable and unstoppable. Jesus said in John 16, 22, no one will take your joy from you. It's unstoppable. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. These are all internal thoughts. These are all things that are going on inside each and every one of us in this room. It's our attitudes, and it's also our priorities in life. That's kind of what I'm going to challenge you on a little bit today, is your priorities. Because the Beatitudes do not promise laughter. They do not promise pleasure. They do not promise prosperity. To Jesus, blessed means the experience of hope and joy, and they do not live on the situations that you and I live in. Does anyone want hope and joy? I got it. We can finish this message right here. Follow Jesus no matter the cost. I want to keep talking. Nath mentioned last week we must surrender. Does anybody remember it? Anywhere, anytime, and at any cost. Do not let the situation, I talk about this with the youth on Sunday nights a couple weeks. I said, do not let the situation that you are currently in or that you are currently facing dictate whether you follow God or not. Because see, he desires, catch that word, he desires for us to live blessed, whether we're poor in spirit, whether we're in mourning, or where we're in persecuted. And I want to get to talk about that in a couple weeks, persecuted. Have you ever thought that maybe sometimes blessings and sufferings go hand in hand? No matter where we are, no matter what situations we're in, his blessings are available to any of us. Because too many of us in this room, including myself, think that life, I'll be happy when I get this, or I'll be happy if I achieve this. But that's not what is promised in Scripture. Blessings do not come when we get what we desire. Blessings do not come when we get the stuff or we get the money. It does not come when we get that dream job, although I am living it. Blessings come in the person and in the power and in the presence of Jesus Christ. I was going to ask if there was an amen in the room, but somebody already hit me with it. I love it. See, Jesus, when he was preaching here in these things, I love this about the scripture. You know, Matthew 5:14 is like my walking verse, and I love it. For you, the light of the world, like a city on the hill that cannot be hid. But I was trying to think about, well, who's he talking to? I always, by the way, let me come out of this for a second. Don't underestimate your influence on the people around you. I sit up here with insecurities and weaknesses about public speaking and about this and about that. And I struggle with my mind of who I've had to follow and this, that, and other. But I sat in the fields on Wednesday night, and I saw one of my brothers get up on stage, and he goes, my walking verse is Matthew 5:14. And my friend, he always walks around telling people that you are the light of the world. And I was like, wait a minute, that's me. I say that. And then the next guy that got up to preach, he got to talk about Ephesians 2:10 and how you're uniquely made and that you're a great workmanship and that you're a masterpiece no matter what. I was like, wait a minute, I say that. And so don't underestimate how much influence you have on people. I just want to throw that in there real quick. But anyways, coming back into Scripture. Reading this, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who mourn. Jesus was not talking to the privileged at this moment. He is talking, and here's where we can go, amen. He is talking to those who are struggling. He is talking to those who are hurting. He's talking to those, and this may be something new for us, he's talking to those who are seeking something. God's blessings is not given to get whatever he wants. God's blessing is giving during whatever circumstance, whatever trial, whatever situation you're currently in. And then Jesus understands this. This isn't in your notes. I had to take a lot out of your notes to get it on that piece of paper. But Jesus understands that if something does not challenge you, it will not change you. So are you blessed this morning is my question I'm going to go with. Because I'm going to go ahead and, I don't know if this is going to get loud, but I am. See, I have this hope, guys. I have this passion down deep inside of me. And it's burning me, and it's moving me, and it's here it comes. But I'm scared sometimes. I'm scared to talk. I'm afraid. I have such weakness inside of me that I am. But I've got to tell someone about the blessing that is of Jesus Christ. I woke up at 4:30 this morning, and God put a vision in my head, and he wanted me at this point to just walk down this aisle and start to ask people and just to tell people about the blessings in my life. But I don't have enough time to finish my sermon, but there are people out here. There are people in this church that need to be released from an eternal prison they're sitting in. There was a moment in my life when I didn't know who Jesus Christ was, but I knew that there was something inside of me. I knew there was something I was searching so badly for, and I did not know what it was. And that's why I want to just scream at the top of my lung, what are some of us doing? Why are we not walking out and looking for the mics of this world and just telling them about the blessing of Jesus Christ in their own lives? And I made this joke earlier, you know, about that song, and I told you it was about me, and that very first verse, and I know I cut Carly off, and it's a great song, and I'd love for us to go all into it, but the word said, I was blind, now I'm seeing in color. I was dead, now I'm living forever. I had failed, but you were my redeemer. I've been blessed beyond all measure. Psalm 119:2 says, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with half their heart. No. That's not what the scripture says. I'm not trying to change scripture. I'm trying to illuminate scripture. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek with him their whole heart. So I have a question. Are you truly blessed? Not with all the external stuff in your life, but with the internal presence of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of points, Nate, I could have just stopped this sermon on and just finished right there. Not with everything that you've bought, not with everything you've achieved, not with everything you've done, and you was able to stand back and say, look at me, look what I've done. But with what, it's like the open the very song we started with tonight, you know, look, open the heart, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Slow down, Mike. Open the eyes of my heart. The internal presence of Jesus Christ. That's where true blessing is. That's what it means to be blessed. It means that you have him at the center of everything that you're doing. So I'm going to move into the next one. Matthew 5, 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Do you hunger and thirst? Now this is going to go very personal. But a few years ago, some of us in this room got this amazing opportunity to go on a mission trip to Ethiopia. We got to see things and experience things that I hope changed our life just as much as it's changed my life. And since we're looking at hunger and thirst, I must share a story with you guys. And I don't know if Emily and Casey understand that story where I'm about to go, but there was one day we went into the capital city of Addis, which is not a broke down place. They have red lights and they have paved streets and they have all the good stuff. And we sat down at a restaurant and we got to eat. And I'm going to say it's a good meal because I didn't find a good meal anywhere. Emily can vouch for that. She ate all my food, but thank God for her, we was able to trade. Like, she'd give me some rice. I'd give her a steak because that wasn't a steak. But anyways, we got done at the end of the meal and we're sitting there all around this table laughing and talking. And one of the guys gets up and he grabs a black plastic trash bag. And he comes to each plate and he starts to dump the food into that bag. Scrape it off. If you can hear the fork scraping it, because I still can. And he scrapes it into that bag. And at first I was thinking, I was like, I'm in Africa. I guess this is what they do. I don't really understand. I mean, I don't know. But I didn't really think too much about it. But I just knew there was a reason. So anyways, he piles all that food into the bag. And we decide that day, we want to go. We hear that the women are carrying like these 50-pound bundles of sticks on their back up and down these mountains. And we want to go up into the mountains and put the sticks on top of our van, throw the ladies in our truck and give them a flower, give them a rose, and we wanted to drive them up and down the mountain. For some reason, that didn't happen that day. They was not working. They was not walking. But anyways, so a lot of people don't go up into the mountains in Kora and Ethiopia. They stay in the zone down there, the mission field. So we decided to turn it into a sightseeing trip. You know, we wanted to ride around. And I remember we pulled off on this one spot. And it's kind of like at Gatlinburg. You're up in a mountain. You can overlook the city of Addis. And so we're all up there taking pictures and laughing. And this little boy comes walking up to me. And, of course, he knows the two words or the two phrases. Candy, I love America. And I look at him, and I'm like, all right, buddy. And so I unzip my bag, and I reach in and grab a Jolly Rancher, and I hand it to him. And some of you have heard this story. And I give him that Jolly Rancher, and he takes it, and he's gone immediately. But just as soon as he left me, I was surrounded. Like, kids were all around me, and I know we're laughing, and when I wrote it, I kind of laughed at first, too. But then I got to thinking about what was in my mind, and I got to remembering they started fighting. They started punching, and they started pushing, and they started pulling, and they were just going nuts for what I had. They hungered and thirst for what I had, and it was just a Jolly Rancher. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And they was surrounding me, and every one of them were laughing at me. But I had all these kids, and there's this word that we were taught in Amharic, and I don't know if Emily or Casey remember it for enough. Becca. Becca. And I feel like I'm a manly man, and I feel like I have a really deep voice, and I'm used to yelling over weld machines and forklifts and my daddy, and I'm just able to yell out there, right? And And so I'm like, Becca! He didn't stop him. Becca! He didn't stop him. Like, they started like Ric Flair elbows, and it was just like, oh my goodness, and they just kept coming and coming. And then, of course, the sincere part, not the authoritative part, because that's my only authority in this message, it goes, Becca! Becca, 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 Becca! And they just would not stop. They kept pulling and pulling and dragging and doing everything they could to get what I had. They had such this, oh God, they had such a hunger and a thirst for what I had. And what I had was just a little Jolly Rancher. And then I remember as I'm screaming back, I hear one of that leader that took that black plastic trash bag. And I saw him say something and he hauled off and he slung it. And it landed on the mountainside to my left. And as quickly as they was on me, they were on that. They attacked it, guys. I mean, they literally hit it like it was no tomorrow. And they took, I could still see them eating the black plastic and the food and whatever they could get. And they were just tearing it apart. And so inside my mind, I have these images of these sweet little children just attacking this garbage bag full of my leftovers. They hungered. They thirst. So when Scripture says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, it is not talking about a hunger and thirst that can be quenched by a sandwich or by a drink. It is talking to those who are living on the edge of starvation and on the edge of thirst. There's a picture in the Sistine Chapel of Michelangelo does. I've drawn it hundreds of times. I had it in my classroom at one point. But it's a picture of God. He's setting with all of his angels under his wing, and he's coming down, and his hand is stretching. I mean, you could just see God with every ounce inside of him. He's just pointing and stretching as much as he can to reach this man that's sitting back on a Sunday afternoon like this right here. And God is just stretching. He's desiring to do everything he can to help this man, but this man is just the comforts of world, and he's just... I'm okay, God. Whenever I get done here, then I'll stretch on out a little bit more. And I love that picture, and I got to thinking about it, and I put it in my notes this morning because I wanted to want you to look at that. It's in the Sistine Chapel, but it's Michelangelo. But it's begging a question of you and of me as well. Am I willing to pursue God to the point of desperation? Do I truly hunger and thirst after God's righteousness? Psalm 63:1 says this. Listen to these words. And you tell me if you've ever been to this point in your life, all right? Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in the dry and weary land where there is no water. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Ryan talked about David. That's King David speaking. The man known after being after God's very own heart. And if he is desperately seeking God, do you not believe that you and I live in a world that is desperately seeking Jesus Christ? The sad thing is most of them don't know what they're actually looking for. It says in Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me, meaning you are doing it. Then he gives us a promise. You will find me. But there's a condition. When you seek me with all your heart. I should know that. Like I told you, I was one of them. I did not understand this game called life. I had no idea what I was looking for. I just knew, guys. I knew there had to be something different than getting up, going to work, coming home, eating supper, going to bed, getting up, going to work, eating supper, and going to bed. I just didn't know. I did not know what I was hungry and thirsting for. I thought it maybe it was money and stuff and people admiring me for who I was and being a good man. I thought that's what it was. But for some reason, when I got all that, when I had the big two-story house, when I had all the clothes and I had all the money and I had the cars and I had everything in life, why was I still sitting there in my own self going, there's something else? Surely this is not about getting to the end of our life and whoever got the most stuff wins the race. But I didn't know. I didn't understand what I was looking for. See, life was like those beautiful children that I looked at, right? When they attacked me, they were looking for what I had. And when I give it to them, I fulfilled that one kid's need for a moment. But then here comes a black plastic bag that comes flying over. And then now that's fulfilling their what they need for that moment. Because ain't that what life is? When we find something to satisfy this, then the next thing you know, we're like, ooh, what's next? And we're constantly looking for something and looking for this and looking for that. And it was never enough. Psalm 42, 1 through 2 says, as a deer, calm down, deer hunters. I know your necks are starting to swell. As a deer, ready? Can y'all visualize this with me, hunters? Can you picture that doe, ready? Psalm 42. As a deer pants for a flowing stream. You can see him breathing, right? So pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. I'm picturing that deer panting and breathing for that water, and he don't know, and he drinks it, and it's still not enough. So I have a question for anyone that's at the sound that could hear my voice. Are you panting for the living water? Because it was not until I tasted the living word of God that my soul was truly satisfied. Truly satisfied. So let me ask you this question again. Do I truly hunger and thirst for the word of God? And here I go, I'm about to get in trouble. Or am I just playing church? Silence. Speaking about playing church, moving into the next one. Matthew 5, 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Are you righteous? In the last few weeks, I'm getting calm, I'm getting good now, here we go. The last few weeks have showed us that the Beatitudes, they were meant to turn the world upside down, right? They were flip it on its end because what you thought he was saying was not what was actually going on. And here Jesus is going to go, hey, watch this. I'm going to make it go another level for you. See, Jesus at the Sermon on the Mount, he wanted to show us the difference between Old Testament teaching on righteousness with that of what the scribes and the Pharisees were teaching. He was not offering a new understanding of this word righteousness. Rather, he was reestablishing it. He was putting it in its proper place, the proper understanding as taught by the law and by the prophets. Because Jesus shocked us all, and if you want to, you can look down in Matthew 5:20. He goes, hey, watch what I'm about to do. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Because, see, the scribes and the Pharisees, they thought of themselves as setting the standard for righteousness. They was like, hey, look at us. This is what we do. You want to get it? You come be like us. See, they taught that it was an external thing, the things around us, right? They said that it was a matter of obeying rules. It was a matter of obeying regulations. And righteousness could be measured. Think about that for a second. Measuring righteousness. You could measure your righteousness by how much you pray, how much you give, and how much you fast. Anyone in here trying to measure righteousness today? Are you playing church? Because here we go. God is not measured by a standard of righteousness. God sets that standard of righteousness. What a shock that must have been when he read Matthew 5:20. They thought they had the good seats at the forum. You know, the good, comfortable seats where people come up and bring you cheese with on a toothpick, you know, and you're just sitting there and just relaxing and having a good time. And that's going to shock some people in the church today to know that as well. Because he also shocked them as to who would be blessed into the entrance or by the entrance into the kingdom. Those the scribes and the Pharisees thought were unworthy. Jesus says those blessed were not the scribes and the Pharisees, but the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. See, Jesus taught that true righteousness is not based upon external appearances, but upon God's assessment of the heart. It's internal. That's kind of what this message has been called, from the inside out, because I think we as a group, we as a church, we as myself, anybody, we've got to start to look from within and see where we're at. Because a righteous person's heart desires to be free from sin. Notice I said desires. A righteous person's heart's desire to be free from that power of sin. Paul in Romans 7:7 says, "Why do I do what I do not want to do, but I do the very thing that I hate? Oh, what a wretched man I am. Who will save me from this power of sin? Oh, be thanks to Jesus Christ." Psalm 139:23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and ready, lead me in the way of everlasting." Are you truly righteous? Because the ultimate source of righteousness, you ready, Nathan? I can finish it right here, is found in only Jesus himself. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Are you satisfied or filled? Don't you just love the promises of God? Someone may ask me, where was the promise at? Ready? Shall be. For they shall be satisfied. Shall be satisfied is a promise of God. And I want to tell you, we have, catch these words, an eternal appetite that cannot be satisfied from material things. I was looking at the bulletin this morning. I don't know if Kim is that good or whatever, but the actual verse that's on the front of your bulletin says, "All of them wait for you. All of them wait for you." It's kind of what I've been saying. To give them their food at the right time. When you give it to them, they gather it. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. I love that. I read that this morning and immediately cried. So don't judge me. But anyways, it's like I serve a big God. Satisfaction seems to be rare in today's society. Many people of us express dissatisfaction with our jobs. I do not like, you know, that's y'all, not me. I love my job. Some of us express dissatisfaction with their marriages. Not me, I love my marriage. Some of us express dissatisfaction with the situations we live in. As a matter of fact, some of us express dissatisfaction with who we actually are. Because we want more. We demand more. We want bigger. We want better. We want flashier. We want what the Joneses have. Does anybody say that anymore? What the Joneses have? John David, you're with me? Okay. The Joneses, young kids was, okay. Yeah. Because see, they're in a world where much of the advertising today, right, is designed to destroy their idea of satisfaction. And it needs to make, it's created, advertising makes them think that they want more than they have. You know, it's designed that way. And I read that C.S. Lewis said it this way, and it was awesome. We are half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition. Catch this. When infinite joy is offered to us. we are far too easily pleased. So once again, Jesus has turned the world upside down on this definition of satisfaction. And here he goes. He's about to tell you where true satisfaction is. And the Bible teaches that it involves this little word that some of us are really afraid of. Contentment. Being satisfied with one's circumstances. Young adults, we talked about this. 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of this world. Young adults, you remember what word I jumped on? But godliness with contentment is great gain. I love how the Bible sometimes, and I'm probably way too simple with it sometimes, but I believe God could have wrote godliness with contentment is gain. But he put great there for a reason. Because when you're with content with what you have in life, with what God has given you, and everything he's given you is for your good, it's great gain, folks. Sure, you would love to have the brand new car, and you'd love to have the fancy fishing boat and the brand new compound bow. I'm just talking to my bow hunters here, so that way you'll listen to me for 2 seconds. I'm sure you want that. But God has already given you everything you need in this world. Learning to be content is the beginning to true satisfaction. So it's until our demands and our expectations cease, we cannot enjoy satisfaction. It's not going to happen. To be satisfied means we are not yearning for something else. When our hunger is satisfied, we don't want any more food. When our thirst is satisfied, we don't crave water. When we are right with our relationship with God, our souls are satisfied. Because you cannot satisfy your spiritual hunger, guys. And I'm telling you, there's people that are looking for it and they don't even know it. And they've probably even never opened a book of Bible. But they know there's something down inside of them that's looking for something. There is a spiritual hunger and they don't know where to go to it. And it can only be found and it can only be satisfied with a relationship with the one who created him and the one who died for you. And his name is Jesus Christ. When we make it our goal to live for Christ, the result is satisfaction that carries way into eternity. I love that. When we make it our goal to live for Christ, it is a true satisfaction that goes for eternity. And I'm going to ask a question. I know I've been pretty heavy with it so far, but is there anybody in this room who wants an eternal satisfaction? No one? Thank you, Barry. Eternal, Barry. Can you dance, Barry? No, I can't either. But I hear, Barry, that we're going to dance for 10,000 years in heaven. I figure I'll figure it out by then. Eternal satisfaction. I want that. I desire that. I need that in my life. That quenches that thing, that hunger and that thirst that I was looking for. Because even when earthly needs, wants, and clamor for our attention, our souls, y'all I need y'all to get that. Our souls know that this is all temporary and external or eternal satisfaction lies just ahead. Our souls know it. We may be hard-headed and not get it, but there's something inside of us that says there is something else. Will you quit looking over there and go look over here? I mean, there's something in you that's trying to move some of you. We need to recognize that God has provided all that we need, right? And we can express satisfaction in that because John 10:10 says, ready? Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it to the full. That's another promise of God. I read this and I loved it and I want to share it with you. Anyways, we find satisfaction in life when we uncover our true purpose for being here. As long as we pursue our own ideas of what will satisfy us and what will quench that thirst, we will never find it. It's like a child, right, chasing a soap bubble. Picture a soap bubble. I wish I had some bubbles. And you're convinced that if you could only ever get your hands around that pretty little bubble. Anybody ever chased a bubble? Sure you have. Anyways, You're convinced that if you ever finally grab a hold of that bubble, that you've got it, that your dream is done. You will be forever content if you could just ever catch that one bubble. And then you catch it, and what happens? It's gone. But what do? There's another bubble. So we go on our whole life chasing and wasting our lives chasing soap bubble dreams of happiness, while all the time the Creator is standing right behind us, probably laughing at us. But the Creator is set behind you waiting with this instruction manual of life in His hands, and He wants to show you what it's like to be blessed, and He wants to show you what it's like to hunger and thirst, and He wants to show you what it's like to be truly righteous, and He wants to show you what it's truly like to be satisfied. Are you truly satisfied? Because I told you earlier, only true satisfaction, the word true, I put true in front of the only true satisfaction in life comes from knowing the one who created you, the one who died for you. And He goes by the name of Jesus. So I'm going to go into closing. Why even make this statement? Why is this in the Bible? I heard this really cool story the other day about the men who built the wall of Nehemiah, and it had a chapter where it lists their name and then his person and this clan and this person and this clan. And you read it and you're supposed to pull something out of it. And you're like, what do I pull out of it? It's just a bunch of names. And then it hit me. They're in the Bible. There was a reason those men's name was in the Bible. And it was to show, you know, it was to prove something at that time. But their name was in the Bible. So why even say Matthew 5:6? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Why do I go so deep in just those 14 words in that single verse? Why do I try and pull everything I can off of it? So we need to know what it means to be truly blessed. We need to know what it means to truly hunger and truly thirst for the Word of God. We need to know what it means to be truly righteous. And we need to know how to be truly satisfied in life. Because I'll be honest, we have forgotten. We have forgotten as a church our calling, what we're meant to do in this place. We have forgotten. We have lost our focus sometimes. We've taken so much on accolades or achievements and stuff over here, and we've just forgot who He is. And we'd much rather go do this event or do that or do that. And God, by the way, you're third this week. God, I'm going to go do this. And God, I'm going to go do that. And God, I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to go deer hunting. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to do that. God, I'm going to put you about third or fourth. I'm going to give you about 5 minutes Monday. Tuesday, I'm going to give you about, I may pray for 3 meals. Wednesday, I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to do all those things. But then for some reason, I'm going to leave whatever I hear inside this building, and I'm going to go back, and I'm going to start to put things back on priority. Because we as a church have forgotten what it means to be blessed. My friends, my brothers, my sisters, if you've accepted Christ in your life, you are blessed. My friends, if you have forgotten what it truly means to hunger and thirst for His Word, and you only pick this book up on Wednesdays and Sundays, you need to remember right now that this is the Word of God. This is the living Word of God. And this can change someone's life if you let it. The problem is some people don't even know where one is. So that tells me that the only Bible that somebody will ever read is maybe your life. We forgot what it means to be truly righteous. And we thought we had an understanding what it meant to be truly satisfied. That's why May made this statement. That's why He laid this on my heart. Because there is someone in this room. It may be just one person, but you mean that much to God that He put this out here for you to hear today. Because our focus should be on Him and what He has done for us. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, here comes authoritative. We are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. And I love this. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Verse 21, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let me translate that to the Mike in the room that's sitting in Southtown. It doesn't understand what all this is about. Doesn't understand why I'm up here. Here's the gospel. Why don't you take all of your sin debt, past, present, and future, and I want you to transfer that over to my account. And I'm going to pay it off in full. It's not a loan, but a gift. And then he says, after all of that, after that transaction's done, he says, then I'm going to take my righteousness and I'm going to transfer that over to you. And we're going to call it even. Why? Because I love you. I created you. I want the best for you. That is the gospel. And I promise you, there's somebody in this room that's never heard that before. We had a moment at the youth event the other night at the fair. And I'm constantly telling kids, I'm like, go and tell somebody about Jesus. And they're like, who? Everybody we know goes to church. And I'm like, just tell someone. And they're just arguing with me. And then so they thought they'd be cute the other night. And they thought they'd bring their little friend inside that tent. And their friend, she walks up and they sit down and they do the sheet with her. And they said, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? She said, no. Immediately they're like, oh no. What do we do? And I'm sitting there going, yeah, that's right. Because there are people. It's not yes and yes, there's somebody that's going to die and go to hell. But it's yes, there are people in this world that do not know who Jesus Christ is. Just because we live in Dyer County and we have the Dyer Baptist Association and we live in the Bible Belt does not mean that everybody knows what it takes to go to heaven. And if you sit there knowing what it takes, you may get mad at me, but if you sit there and know what it takes, and it's inside of you, that righteousness is inside of you, you are satisfied with life, you are blessed beyond measure, and you know someone that does not know Jesus, and you aren't telling them, send them to me. I want to tell them. They may not accept Christ. They may not move in the direction I want them to move in. But at least I'll know that they at one point of their life heard that, brother, your sin is forgiven and I have paid it in full and this is a gift. And all I do is ask you to accept me as Lord. Make me leader of your life. Put everything in me, through me, and for me. Oh, Lord, please. There is somebody in this room that does not know that. And if you think they're not, I don't know where you've been. Because the world isn't getting any better out there. So anyways, I'm doing great. Okay, good. I got time. But I'm sweating now. I'm a fat guy rocking up here sweating. All right, here we go. Guys, why put that in there? Like I said, we have forgotten as a church. And I'm not saying any of this to smack you. If you know me, I'm trying to ignite you. If you know what I think, you know, if you honestly knew how much I love everybody in this room, and somebody I don't even know, I never even met you, but I love you. You know why I love you? Because he loves you. And if he loves you, I love you. And I want everything inside of me to tell you about the blessings of my life. I want so much to tell you about what it takes to hunger and thirst and what it takes to be truly righteous and in life, because we all want to live a life where we're satisfied and where we're filled. Because it says, remember the word blessed, is divine joy and perfect happiness. A joy that when trials and tribulations come into your life and it just makes you feel like you should just crumble under the weight of it. When you are blessed with Christ inside of you, it makes you want to stand and where people can see you and they'll come to you and say, why is he like that? How is he able to smile in a moment when his grandmother's going, is dying? Because I know where she's going. And why is she going there? Because I told her the gospel. I told her that everything is forgiven, past, present, and future. So I want to encourage my church. I want to encourage my brothers and sisters. Do not leave what you hear inside this room laying here today. Pick it up. Go out those doors with it. Because I promise you, there's a community that needs to hear that blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Verse 12, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So in closing, am I truly living? And I got this lesson to learn. It's sitting on my wall. You can go in there and look at it. It says, unless there is within us that which is above us, we will soon yield to that which is around us. And the application is, God, change me from the inside out. I don't know what it sounded like out there, but it felt good up here. Change me from the inside out. I promise you there's somebody in this room that heard something for the first time. He's a good God. He's a big God. He wants what's best for you. And if you're sitting out here today and you've never heard that and you don't understand where all this is coming from, the tears and stuff, I would love, love, love to tell you about him. My number is 676-0399. You can call me. And I'll talk to you over the phone about him. But whatever you need. We're going to go into a time of invitation. Ryan, y'all can come on up. This altar is full of prayers still, Ryan. This altar also has 22 names of people that have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's kind of like an Easter egg hunt. I've thrown them out here, and I asked for you to search them and find them. But Dyer County, Lauderdale County, wherever you're from, this is your brothers. This is your sisters. This is your neighbors. This is your community. These are people that are hurting. So we'll pray for them. But guys, if you have a need or if you have something in your own life that you're battling with, this is yours. This is your time. This is for you and God. Nobody's going to judge you. Nobody's going to think nothing about you. Come down. I live by let go, let God. For somebody here that wants to know about Jesus Christ, here I am. Anytime, anywhere, at any cost. I'd love to tell you what he's done with my life. I'd love to tell you what he's doing in my life. I always think there's three Mikes living in this world. There's the Mike that I used to be. He's a knucklehead. You got the Mike you see in front of you. Go ahead and say it. He's a knucklehead. But then there's this Mike that God sees. That's blessed. That hungers and thirsts. Boy, do I hunger and thirst for the Word of God. Whew, sweating thinking about it. But I truly do hunger and thirst for what he does, because I fail short a lot of times, but I want him so much on my life and in my life, because I want to live a life where I'm truly satisfied. And if you want to know about that God, he's a big God. I'll tell you all about him, but you come on down here and take me by the hand, and we'll go through that together. But yeah, this is a time of invitation. This is time for you and God. Just come on down.